Pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
Please do sit down. I think that everybody who walks with Jesus wants to know how better to communicate with him, how to pray, in fact. I don't think there's any Christian, and I include myself in this, who doesn't want better prayer life and to improve that sense of communication. I still have a deep desire to learn how to pray more effectively and how to better spend time with God. That desire hasn't lessened, and I've found that it's actually increased. I remember people saying, well, if you could just sit down and spend 10 minutes in prayer with God, that will change you. And I used to think, 10 minutes? That's forever. What would I say to God for 10 minutes? I'd run out of things to say in 2 minutes. That was my understanding of what it was to spend time in prayer. But as time has moved on, 10 minutes sometimes is hardly an introduction. Prayer, I want to suggest to you, is a wonderful privilege for everyone. Quite often, we only reach out to God when we're desperate, when things are going wrong. But prayer is something that is all about relationship. It's about building up, maintaining, and growing that relationship that we have with Jesus. We don't want to be like the man whose way of living was so bad that when he got up every morning, he used to open the newspaper, look in the obituary column to see if his own name was there. If it wasn't there, he went back to bed another day just to get through, with no adventure and no challenge. That could describe many of us who don't have those challenges to our faith. Sometimes when faith isn't challenged, life isn't challenged, and there's not much prayer in our lives. But if we want to see God doing something in our lives, in the lives of those around us, and in the life of our churches and families, then prayer has got to be something that is number one on all of our agendas. And I want to suggest to you 4 concepts for you to take away and consider. And what I've done is I've typed them out for you on a sheet that's available on the table as you leave church today. Just a little takeaway from this morning's preach. First of all, pray regularly. Pray consistently. Try, if you can, to make a stated time when you're going to meet with God. If we only prayed when we actually felt like it, we probably wouldn't really pray much at all. Our feelings wouldn't be prompted. But if we've got a stated, consistent time that we're able to set aside every day, we begin to learn discipline. We could make in our homes a prayer space. Decorate it maybe with some photos, some favourite objects, a Bible, some verses from the Bible that really mean something to you. Maybe even a notepad and pen so that you can jot down your thoughts as you pray and those words that you receive from God in return. And prayer is something that we have to work at. And sometimes the other stuff gets in the way. Sometimes we're quite good at making excuses when we don't actually want to do something. We can find something better to do. Sometimes even doing the washing up can become a deep desire rather than sitting down and actually praying. But if we carve out that special time in our day, we know that it's our own time. Even if it's 10 minutes, it's 10 minutes more than we perhaps would have had before we started that discipline. Sometimes we don't pray regularly because we don't think it's going to make any difference. If our prayers aren't answered, or they're not answered in the way that we actually want, we feel like we want to give up. But I've put on there the illustration of coaching a football team. If they said, okay, coach, we'll be at the match on Saturday, but we're not going to train unless we feel like it. There's not a team in the world that would actually play like that if people chose not to train but still showed up for the match. So we pray regularly. It's a bit like training to be an athlete, training to be a footballer. It's something you have to give time and discipline towards. So we can make prayer our prime goal every day. We can set that 10 minutes or maybe more if we choose to aside. And we can actually say to ourselves, I promise that I will pray regularly. And if we make it a goal, it's actually easier for us to do it. It's a bit like making an appointment in your diary. If you had to go and see the doctor, you would do it at the stated time. You don't want to miss the appointment. Why would we do the same with God? Why would we not keep an appointment with God and make something else more important instead? It's more important, that prayer time, than any other thing that we're going to do that day. And then we have to reject the interruptions that come our way. Sometimes someone or something, often good people, can interrupt that time with God. But we can turn off phones. We can put things on silent. We can choose to come back to something at another time so that nothing gets away in the way of that time to have that relationship with God and to sit there and to pray. And the second thing we need to do is to be honest in our prayer lives. Are we really honest with God when we pray? Do we actually really talk to God when we pray? Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that we've got to be honest when we pray. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. and we will all have to make that account. How do we account for the ways in which we've been praying? And the Bible says, and it was in that gospel reading, that God already knows. So there's no point in trying to use prayer to cover up anything. Sometimes we can get angry with God about something. Something bad has happened, we're ill, somebody we know is ill or struggling, and it's a perfectly natural human emotion to get angry. We all do it. But if we're angry with God about something, then we need to tell God that, in fact, we're actually angry with God. God already knows that. Do we sometimes resent something that somebody has done to us or said to us? Tell God about it. Is there something that's happened and we don't understand why it's happened or why something has worked out in the way that it has and we get all torn up inside about it? Be honest with God and tell God that we don't understand. God knows already what we're thinking. But it's crucial to be honest in our prayer lives. Go through the Bible and you will see that people of prayer were actually very honest when they prayed. Example, Exodus chapter 5. This is Moses and Aaron, and it says, when they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them, and they said, may the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon these people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Moses getting angry with God on behalf of what the Israelites have been complaining to him about. So Moses just told his problems to God in the way that they were. You got us into trouble, into this trouble, God. You put us in these problems, so therefore you, God, have got to come and sort it out. Because so far, you've not done a single thing to help us out of it. That's Moses being pretty honest and pretty blunt. Moses getting caught up in the wave of emotion. But look at Jeremiah, the great weeping prophet. Jeremiah, still in his lamentation, prayed to God. You might think that this often compassionate man wouldn't address God very strongly. But in Jeremiah chapter 20, O Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of God has brought me insult and reproach all day long. Jeremiah is saying, what's the point of it all in the first place? He's angry. He's saying, God, you actually tricked me. But God didn't do that. But that's what Jeremiah thought. And so he just said what was in his heart when he talked to God. Jesus often speaks about pain and hurt. And in doing so, he's simply being honest. And people like St. Paul, Moses, Aaron, Jeremiah, they were all people of God, but they were honest in their prayer. They talked from the depths of their hearts when they sat down and spoke to God. These were real people expressing their real emotions and not holding anything back. Wouldn't it be great if we could do that as well? Pray not just in the spirit, but pray with what's in our hearts as well. Really give it to God. Really hand it over to God. And in some ways, that can also help us to acknowledge and come to terms with the emotions that we're experiencing within ourselves. And when we pray, we can just talk to God as our Father, our Lord, our Saviour. If we need to, even our friend. It's hard when we hear people taking the name of God in vain, using the name of God as an expletive. That's so wrong. But when we actually come to God and we take God's name and make it holy and use it to form our prayers, we're using everyday language. We're talking to our Lord and Saviour, the one who at the same time is also our friend. And the third thing we need to do is to pray fervently. If we want to improve our prayer lives, we need to pray fervently. In James chapter 5, it says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." And the word prayer means supplication, used 17 times in the New Testament. It means to pray with fervency, with zeal, with desire, even in agony. In the book of Exodus, the people of Israel were crying out to God. In the Psalms, their people are crying, the psalmists are writing and crying in their distress as they vent their thoughts and feelings to God. Sometimes when people come to pray, they act like they're ringing the bell, they're pulling on the bell rope at a church. They grab that rope of prayer, but they don't move it, and God seemingly doesn't hear. Others may come and grab the rope, give it a little shake, barely waking anyone up. But then there are those who really come to pray and grab at that rope and pull it with all their might, fervent in their prayer. And prayer is heard, and prayer is answered. So to improve our prayer lives, we need to pray regularly, we need to pray honestly, we need to pray fervently, and we need to pray constantly. And if we can keep working at that, then our prayer life is actually going to be improved. We'll see God working. Our lives can be transformed as we pray. Lives can suddenly become an adventure, that time with God, that journey into faith that God is actually wanting for all of us. As our prayer lives change, we will actually see God at work. We'll see the obstacles that get in the way being torn down. We might see our lifestyle suddenly change. We might understand that we're being guided. We might be able to resist temptation. We might even see the devil retreat as we stand for Jesus and as we try to become warriors, soldiers, prayer warriors for Jesus. And if we improve our prayer lives, it's a gift. It's a gift from God. And if we pray fervently, crying out to God, it doesn't mean that we have to beg God and be really desperate for God to do something. But 17 times in the New Testament, it says that people prayed fervently. Jesus, Paul, James, Moses, the psalm writers all prayed fervently. And there come times in our lives when we need to pray fervently, but also constantly, and we'll see God doing something. And in that first reading from 1 Thessalonians, there was one particular sentence that we might have all heard: pray without ceasing. We have to pray constantly, but who can actually do that? How can we pray when we're at work? How can we pray when we're driving? How can we pray when we're doing so many things? Perhaps that should be us moving towards being in such a close relationship with God that there becomes a line of unbroken communication between us and God. We're walking with God all the time, talking to God so intensely, constantly, but at the same time also so intimately that it's as though we just never stop that conversation. And 10 minutes suddenly becomes a lifetime. And there's so many ways that we can put prayer into our daily lives. When we wake up in the morning, we can pray, giving thanks to God for a new day. When we're in the shower, we could pray. When we eat breakfast, we could pray. When we're on our way to work, we can pray. Not prayers like, please don't let whoever who doesn't like me come up against me today, although we might even do that. But we can pray for God to help us. We can pray for that meeting that we've got to have. We can pray for that person who we've got to have a conversation with today. We could even pray while we're driving. Be in such a close relationship and fellowship with God that every moment becomes an opportunity to pray. Wouldn't that be brilliant? When the phone rings, do we just grab the phone and start talking? Or do we just offer a quick prayer before we pick up the handset? We don't know what the person on the other end is actually going to say to us. We don't know what accusation or praise may come our way, and we don't know how we're going to respond. So if we just pick it up in an attitude of prayer, we might be moved to give a good answer in the Spirit of Jesus. So praying regularly, honestly, fervently and constantly is what we're all about. And as I said at the beginning of the service, over the next 6 months as we run these encounter courses, we're going to be looking at different ways of praying. And we're actually going to, in some of them, actually sit down in silence for 10 minutes. I have different ways of introducing you to that. 10 minutes sounds like a long time, as I said at the start, but actually sometimes 10 minutes simply isn't enough for the conversation that we actually want to have. But prayer is also like an adventure. We don't know how our prayers are going to be answered. Sometimes we don't even know the prayer that we're going to offer. But prayer is an invitation to draw deeper into that relationship with God and allow God to shape our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to pray regularly, honestly, fervently, and constantly. Help that relationship that we each have with you to grow and to flourish. Help us to understand that prayer is a joy and not a chore. And help us to find the space in our lives to carve out that time to pray and enjoy that time with you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.